I'd like to read with you in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and I'm reading at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There are, of course, literally, hundreds of religions in our world. Many of them have terribly complex concepts that must be grasped in order to be a member. The gospel of the grace of God is breathtaking in its simplicity. And I would like to point out to you three very important, but I think very simple truths about the salvation that God is offering to you tonight. The first is that salvation is by grace. That salvation is through faith, and that salvation is a gift. Salvation is by grace. You cannot earn it. Salvation is through faith. You cannot work for it. Salvation is a gift. You cannot purchase it. And I think that if those three truths were to be universally proclaimed and understood, that there are a lot of doors that would be permanently closed and locked, because people would understand that not their baptism, not rituals and sacraments, not their church going or attendance, but salvation by grace is what takes a human being to heaven. Now, I think that the chapter itself helps us understand this wonderful truth about salvation's being by grace. Think about the objects to whom God is offering this salvation. Earlier in the chapter, we get two very, very sobering and solemn titles of all of us. We are called children of disobedience and children of wrath. Now, that first title, children of disobedience, has to do with our nature. We are guilty and sinful men and women, and we have hearts like that which Adam had when he sinned against God. We are children of that disobedience. We are resembling, if you will, our first father who rebelled against God. But if that has to do with our nature, the second one has to do with our future. We are children of wrath, because doomed men and women who are sinners and are guilty before God deserve judgment and wrath from God. Now, what happens is, in many, many religions, we have concocted ways of salving our conscience, of quieting our fears, of giving us a false sense of confidence in the hopes that somehow things that we have trusted in will eventually get us to heaven. But once I understand that I am a sinner with a sinful nature, that as such I am on the way to eternal judgment, I will be very thankful that salvation is by grace. Think about the objective of it, that what God is doing is he is offering forgiveness to sinners who are already guilty. You'll recall the language of Romans chapter 3, that all the world is guilty before God. And the Lord Jesus said that we are condemned already. And yet, to guilty sinners, God is offering forgiveness. He is offering to forgive your sins tonight. And you could drive away from this field with the assurance that your awful debt of sin has been canceled and cleared because of the grace of God. He's offering salvation to sinners who are already doomed. He's making it possible for you to live in heaven instead of languishing in hell, for you to be with him instead of being banished from him. And he is offering you a place in his family, despite the fact that as a child of disobedience and a child of wrath, you are a sinner on the way to eternal perdition. God is offering by his grace to bring you into his family, to make you instead a child of God. So would you allow me to ask you, are you trying to earn salvation by how you live, by what you believe, by what you give, by what you pay, by what you pray. Salvation is by grace. A number of years ago, in an area near where I have often preached, there was a woman who was planning her wedding. She laid down quite a chunk of money, especially since it was 1990. She laid down quite an amount of money to rent the Canongate Hall in which her reception would be held. But before the wedding, the bridegroom backed out. So the woman, Kathleen, and her mother went to the Canongate Hall, explained the situation, asked about a refund. They said it's too late for that. She could have just walked away, but she didn't. She hired buses. And she sent the buses to three of the surrounding towns. And they collected homeless people from the streets. And they filled the buses. And they brought them to the Canongate Hall. So you can imagine where there might have been people in tuxedos, women in lovely dresses. There were now homeless people. They were served hors d'oeuvres to begin with. Shrimp puffs, fried wonton, chicken wings, meatballs, egg roll. These are homeless people. Then the main course was stuffed chicken breast. It was boneless chicken in honor of the groom. String beans almondine. There was cake. There was ice cream. There was coffee for dessert. The people were commenting that they had never had a meal like that for decades. Did they deserve to be there? Were they friends of the bride-to-be and had any possible reason, logically, to be present? No. They were there by her grace. They didn't even pay to come in. They were there by grace. There is no logical reason why I should ever have escaped hell and be in heaven forever. But I'm going to be there by grace. I don't deserve it. But it's because of what God's beloved Son did on the cross that salvation is offered to guilty sinners on the basis of God's grace. Salvation is through faith. You cannot work for it. Now, in the Bible, faith is never presented as the object that we have to strive for, as if I could, if I just had a sufficient amount of faith, or the right kind of faith, or a strong enough faith that then that would get salvation given to me. It is always salvation by grace, by faith in the Lord Jesus. It's always believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior is Christ. Faith is not the Savior. The Savior is Christ. And God is offering you salvation through faith. And He is presenting to you something that is the opposite of works. Because you see, it's not some work that I do by relying on Christ. It is my relying on the work that He did. And in language that would be somewhat confusing unless you were actually reading it, Paul said in Romans chapter 11 that these are mutually exclusive. That if it's by works, then it can't be by grace. And if it's by grace, then it can't be by works. And he is telling us that salvation is through faith alone in the Lord Jesus. And in fact, it is the only option open to anyone who is spiritually helpless. Please tell me, that night when I wanted to be saved, 56 years ago this month, tell me what I could possibly have done. I was a helpless sinner. I was thoroughly confused. I had no idea how I could keep myself from going into hell. I left the gospel meeting that night and was absolutely certain in my mind that if I did not get salvation that night, I would perish forever. I would be in hell. I would never be in heaven. I would be lost eternally. You understand the impact that had on a young teenage boy? As for the first time in my life, I faced how hopelessly lost I was. Martin Luther called it the inundation of the eternal, the swamping of a human being by the tremendous realities of eternity, crashing in on a soul that perhaps prior to that had scarcely thought about these realities. And that night I stumbled out of that gospel meeting, conscious that I was on the way to hell, and unless God showed me how to be saved, I would perish forever. So what possibly could I have done to save myself? I was saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus. He saved me. I love Bible illustrations. That's how the Lord Jesus preached, didn't he? And I wish I could learn more from him. But he borrowed from the book of Numbers and told about the Israelites and the venomous serpents that came in. And that was his hand-chosen illustration of how a person obtains a new birth, how a person is born again. Let me borrow a page from the master preacher and just use a Bible illustration. Jeremiah the prophet was thrown into a pit. He was wallowing in the mud, languishing down there at the bottom of the pit. And in the palace, there is a man who has compassion on him and is dispatched by the king to rescue Jeremiah. Ebed-Melech takes with him 30 men. They come to the edge of the pit. They throw rags down to Jeremiah to soften the ropes that he will have to apply to himself. He puts them under his arms. They lower ropes to him. There is no explanation. Ebed-Melech apparently does not say to him, there are 31 of us up here. All that he is told in the bottom of that prison pit is to take hold of the ropes. When he does that, all the power that was up here operated to pull him up. He wasn't asked to climb the rope. He was just asked to take it. And then a power outside of himself altogether rescued him. On that July night, in the midst of all of the spiritual darkness that was enveloping my mind, I felt as though God had just simply lowered a lifeline to me. And that lifeline was this: he that believes on the Son has everlasting life. I want you to believe me because I'm telling you this sincerely. I had no idea how salvation works. I had no idea how salvation works. But I knew that was God's word. And I simply took God's word as true. And like Jeremiah grasping the rope, I just grasped what God said. And like the men whose power completely outside of Jeremiah rescued him from that pit, the moment that I believed on the Son of God, the power of God's salvation lifted me from the broad road to the narrow, from my sins to salvation. And you can have God's salvation tonight because it is by grace, because it is through faith, and because it is a gift. You see, the price of this is too great. If you were to put together all the amount of money that you possibly could, it would be insufficient to purchase salvation. God is offering it as a gift. It is a Bible fact that we are spiritual paupers. I love the way the Bible puts it in its simplicity. It says no one can by any means redeem his brother. None can pay the price that brings salvation. But God is offering salvation to you as a gift because Calvary is enough. Because what the Lord Jesus paid on the cross has provided a salvation sufficient to save the entire human race. And if tonight you were to trust that blessed Savior, you would have a salvation that is by grace, that is received through faith, that is obtained as a gift. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I hope tonight, as you listen to my dear brother proclaim the gospel, you will simply grab the rope. You will simply believe what God says and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to lift you from your sins.
Now it's a privilege to be back here in Bicester for the preaching of the gospel and to share with my brother Gene Higgins. We are delighted to be able to do this and thank you for coming tonight. We trust you'll be blessed. We're going to read a little verse in the book of Titus. If you want to just sit back and enjoy the reading, but if you have a Bible and want to follow it, it's in Titus in chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Titus chapter number 2 and verse number 11. And this is what it says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Verse number 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now another verse in chapter 3, in the light of what our brother has been bringing on before us. Chapter 3 and verse number 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. May God bless the reading of the Holy Scriptures. Grace, what a beautiful word it is, isn't it? You know, there's a little verse in John's Gospel, in chapter number 1, that says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I'm awful glad, you know, that in my Bible, that sentence doesn't have a full stop just at the end of Moses. The law came by Moses. For if I was under law, you know, I would be condemned, because I'd broken the Ten Commandments, and my dear friend, so have you. And we would be condemned to a just judgment for our sins. But thank God it says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And my text tonight says this: the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Another verse I gave you was in chapter 3. It says, after that the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man appeared. Thank God that God stepped into time in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The imagery in that chapter is as of the sun rising and its rays shining down upon planet Earth. And here we are on a beautiful sunny night. And what an illustration it is of the sun's rays beaming across the Earth. The sun in its beautiful power as it rises in the dawn and reaches into the sky. That's the picture of the coming into this world of God's Son at Bethlehem, when God became a man, when God became a baby boy, when God lived as a carpenter on the earth. And we call him Jesus. I call him the Lord Jesus, because he's my Lord. And he lived that wonderful life and came into the world to die for the human race. Our text says, who gave himself for us. What a remarkable statement. Who gave himself for us. We've been hearing that grace is God's unmerited favour. When I don't deserve it, that illustration of that lady whose wedding was changed into a hamper and a feast and a supper for the homeless was just wonderful, wasn't it? What a picture to us of the grace of God. Undeserving cases like you and me, and yet we can have God's salvation. We can have sins forgiven. We can have a peace with that holy God. And just like the sun rises, so that the Lord Jesus came into time. Today, my dear brother behind me took me to Keble College in Oxford. And he showed me the painting of the light of the world. And you know, there it is. And we saw it, you know, the last time I was here, it was away getting refurbed. And it was just a poster. But you know, if you've never seen it, get to Keble College and see it. And there it is. Revelation 3, in picture form by Holman Hunt. The light of the world. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. And you see the picture of an old door, covered in ivy, covered in grime. An old door. And yet you can see the door. And yet it's not been opened for a very long time. And Holman Hunt says it's a picture of the human heart, fast closed by sin. And outside is standing the Saviour, with a lantern knocking. Standing knocking. What is it? It's grace, my friend. It's what it is. It's grace. And we were told that the lamp was a picture of the light of conscience. As God reveals to you your sin, reveals to you your need of a Saviour, reveals to you the fact that there's sin in your life, and there's the voice of Scripture. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But then round the head of Christ is a glow. You see the light of Christ. Oh, thank God, the grace of God, salvation bringing, has appeared to all men. It's a wonderful thing to be able to tell you that God loves you, whoever you are, wherever you are, and that my Saviour died for you, whoever you are, wherever you are, who gave himself for us, undeserving cases. And sometimes that hard heart has been very fast closed. I wonder if you'll understand this, that your heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, is incurably bad and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And there it is, it's a heart. But thank God he's still knocking. And the grace of God is coming out to you. Not only has he come in mercy and grace to Bethlehem and ultimately to a place called Calvary to die for our sins in his own body in the tree, but he's now alive from the dead. And he's come to you daily, Spirit of God working with you, bringing little lines of hymns to you, little poems, speaking to you in perhaps marriage breakup, speaking to you in the hospital bed, speaking to you beside an open grave, speaking to you in the difficult times of life, and he's there for you. And the light of the gospel has come to you. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, and he's given himself for you. Oh, thank God, you know, he died for you. Who gave himself for us. You see, what could a man 2,000 years ago, dying on a cross, do for me in 2022, in a field here on the outskirts of Bicester? Everything. Absolutely everything. You save your soul. Forgive you all your sins. Take you to heaven. You see, that verse says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Redeem us from all lawlessness. We live in a world, you know, that, well, there's an authority issue. You speak to the teachers and they'll tell you it's harder work in the classroom than it was 20 years ago. You speak to the policemen, they'll tell you it's harder policing now than it was 20, 30 years ago. You speak to the judges, they'll tell you there's cases they're hearing they would never have dreamt of hearing 20, 30 years ago. There's an authority issue. Breakdown in law and order. And what's happening is our country's becoming more and more selfish. There's an issue of lawlessness. I want to tell you, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness. He wants to change you from being selfish to being someone who wants to serve him and obey him and love him. He wants to change you. That's what the grace of God does. Our brother's been bringing this before us, Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, nor of works, lest any man should boast. And Titus is told, not of works of righteousness which we have done. No, it's according to his mercy he saved us. We're undeserving cases, and yet he's willing to save us, and to save us from ourselves, to save us from the self-indulgent lives, to save us from selfishness, to redeem us from it. That is to take us from a place of the bondage of our own sin and release us. That's what salvation can do, you know. It can change you. He says that he might purify him unto himself. Not only does the grace of God in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ save me from myself, it deals with the great moral issue. We live in a society where people are not living right. All sorts of moral issues have appeared in the last 20, 30 years that never appeared before. And strange things are being spoken about, and strange things are being broadcast. Strange things are being promoted as all right, in fact, good. The Bible says they're evil. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to die for us. that you might cleanse us from our sins, forgive us from all our iniquities, and cleanse us from our impurities. That's why he came. That's what the grace of God does to a man. That's what the grace of God does to a woman. It cleanses them. And the verse I love is this, in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Wonderful news, isn't it? I don't know how you could stay there unmoved by the grace of God as the sun's beams begin to shine on you just now. I want to tell you a far brighter light, the light of Christ is shining on you. And he wants to give you salvation. I'm glad I can tell you, like the Apostle Paul, I can say in the language of Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, he died for my sins, and I'm saved. According to his mercy, he saved me. I didn't deserve it. It was all of his grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. You see, do we not have anything to do for it? No, no, it's not of works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy. It's not of works lest any man should boast. You see, if it was about you and I getting salvation by our works, we would never know if we'd done enough. We'd always be wondering if we had to do more. We'd always be wondering if we're going to hell. Thank God he's done it all, ladies and gentlemen. On the cross he cried, "Finished." What would you have thought of me if I went to Keble College today? And I called one of the people in from the college and they said, "See this painting here? I think I better add some colour to it." I think they would have said, "Excuse me, sir, I think you better get out of here quick. That's a finished work, it's a masterpiece, sir. It's worth millions." If that was true of a simple painting, how much more it's true of the work of Christ. It's all finished. It's all done. Everything necessary for your salvation, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquities. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. He died for every man and woman and boy and girl. The Bible says Christ died as a ransom for all. And my Saviour died for you. Died for your sins. That you might become purified. He says he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people for his possession. There's an identity issue. People are wanting to know who they really are. And I'm not speaking about whether we're British or we're Europeans. I'm not speaking about the whole issue of the Union and some parts of the Union thinking they should be independent. And I'm not speaking about the great macro political aspects of whether we should be in NATO or whatever. I'm speaking about whether you feel at home in your own family, whether you feel you've got a mum or a dad or not, whether you feel you've got a link back to any home situation. There's boys and girls walking the streets of the UK and they don't know who really they really are. A lady said to me, "I'm trying to find myself." I said to her, I named her, I'll not name her, because I know this is broadcast. It says, "Once you've found Christ, you'll find yourself." Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you who I am. You say, "Oh, you're Scottish." We can work that out from your accent. And your name's already been given out. I'll tell you who I am. I'm a Christian. That's my identity. I'm a Christian. And the death of Christ has changed my identity. I belong to him. A people for his possession. He's bought me with a price on his own body on the tree. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you fundamentally I belong to him. I'm one of his sheep. I'm awful glad of that. He's my good shepherd. I see the text at the side here. I am the good shepherd. I'm glad I'm in his flock. You know what he says about his sheep? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and none can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I want to tell you, it's wonderful to be in his flock. It's wonderful to be in his family. I often tell the story of a young girl who, she died when I was just young, cystic fibrosis. And I remember that her dad having to be pulled out of the pub just to be at his own daughter's funeral. His mother had died. There was a young girl, Elizabeth, dead, and I remember being really upset because there was so few at the funeral. And then my grandfather coming to tell me. He says, Craig, I was with her the night before she died. She says, Uncle Kenneth, I'm going to see Jesus. He says, you got saved in the Sunday school, Craig. She's now in the safe in the arms of Jesus. She never had much of a parentage on earth, but she's got her father which is in heaven. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's great to be saved. It's great to be in his family. It's great to be born again. He gave himself for us. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Are you saved tonight? Or you might be in a good family. You might have heard this gospel before. But if you're not in the family of God, you've got nothing. I'm going to tell you that now. Nothing. Nothing at all. He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness. Purify unto himself a people for his possession. Zealous of good works. You see, I thought you preached. Our brothers just preached. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. I thought you just read your text. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. I thought you men preached that you can't contribute to the matter of salvation. That salvation is through Christ alone it is. He's done it all. It's a gift. That's what our brother just preached. It's a gift of God. When did you ever have to pay for a gift at Christmas time or your birthday? A gift by its very definition is you just receive it. Somebody else has bought it for you. Somebody else has paid the price. That's what salvation is. It's a gift. You see, all I've got to do is receive it.
That's right.
Just you receive him tonight. You see, what will happen if I receive Christ tonight? You'll be redeemed. Redeemed from all lawlessness, all iniquity, all sinful selfishness. You'll be purified. He'll cleanse you from all your sins through the blood of Christ. He'll make you one of his own family. You'll have the grace of God in your life. You'll have heaven as your home. This Bible will become a living book. You'll want to pray. You'll want to be baptized. You'll have a new attitude. He'll give you a new character. That's a wonderful thing to be saved. But I'll tell you something else he'll do. You'll be zealous of good works. You'll want to serve him. You'll want to help others. You'll want to show it in your life. You'll want to demonstrate it. You see, salvation's real, my friend. It changes you. It changes you. You ever been changed by the gospel? Or could it be there's somewhere in a car down here? Back seat, front seat. Maybe somebody listening on the radio, round about here. And you're still in your sins. You don't know what the grace of God is. I want to remind you about the kindness and love of God that's appeared to all men. That God loves you. That my son, he's the Son of God. And he's the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. And he's beaming his love upon you. He gave himself for you. Who gave himself for us. Oh, take it in tonight. He died for you at Calvary's cross. You're an undeserving case. You're in your sins. And you're fast going to hell. But he's done something to rescue you from the pit. To take you away from the wrath of God. He's come to save you. He's come to save you. Despite your sin, to pour his mercy on you. When you deserve judgment, he's withheld it. And when you didn't deserve blessing, he's given it. That's grace. And he's come to save you. Will you take it tonight as a gift? Not by works. Why? Because it's the gift of God. You see, who's paid for it? He's paid for it in his own precious blood. He gave himself for us. And if you were to receive it tonight, you would be able to say like the Apostle Paul in Galatians 2:20, he gave himself for me. I tell you, it's only when you realize he died for you, you'll ever come into his family, one of his members of his family. There's a man who got saved the first day of lockdown, and everybody thought they knew what the problem in the man's life was prior to him getting saved. He'd been coming to a few meetings we were having. He phoned me, he says, Craig, I got saved last night. The last gospel meeting we had before lockdown. And I said, Jim, what kept you so long? He says, Christ died for my sins. Oh, you know, it was just wonderful to hear him say it. I must have been over that ground many a time, but that night the penny dropped. was my sins. His own personal sins that Christ died for. My sins were laid upon him. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him. And by believing, I go free. I wonder tonight if the truth of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ for you will grip your heart. It's God's grace to you. Bear in mind, you don't deserve it. Don't be thinking you can add or contribute to it. It's all been done for you. But tonight, he's died for you. And just as you are, where you are in the car, a prayer of repentance could wing its way heavenward. There could be a sinner here who just come to the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. We sometimes say it, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Maybe tonight there'll be someone here who will no longer linger in their sins any longer. They'll come to receive the grace of God in their life. You say, what if I refuse it? Well, to refuse God's love, and to refuse God's kindness, and to refuse God's grace is a very serious thing. Calvary will never be repeated. Christ will never die twice. It's a finished work. To refuse the gift of God isn't just the height of ignorance. It's a serious, serious situation you're in. Because you see, your sins just now are taking you down to hell, my friend. That's why you need the grace of God. And that's why you need the kindness of God. Because to refuse his kindness, and to refuse his love, and to refuse his grace, is to one day finish up facing the wrath of God in the lake of fire. Our prayer is you'll never go there. Tonight, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. The Bible says now is the accepted time. And now is God's day of salvation. Listen again to the text of our brother. For by grace, through unmerited favour, for by grace are you saved. Saved from your sins. Saved from the world. Saved from hell. Saved from yourself. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. Accepting it just as you are. Accepting it through the matter of believing in the Lord Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For the grace of God, salvation bringing, has appeared to all men. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all lawlessness, and purify unto himself a people for his possession, zealous of good works. For after the kindness and love of God, our Saviour towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. May God bless you tonight. May you come just as you are then to him. He'll not refuse you. He'll not turn you away. He's never turned one away. The Lord Jesus says, he or she that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Just come as you are. May God bless you, shall we pray?